Welcome to Rebecca Neal, the podcast, where I, Rebecca, your host, share thought-provoking episodes with you to help you take your life from where it is now to where you want it to be. I have a huge desire and passion to help people just like you get out of their own way and start living the life that they deserve. I'm here to help you feel empowered, educated, and inspired to get into massive action and create change in your life today. Join me weekly as I share insights into the online business world, social media, and many other motivational topics, and also interview some of the world's most incredible humans to help you become the best version of yourself.
Of course. I mean, there's really, like, if you think about your life and you think about the times where you were the happiest, or the times where you've created the most positive emotion in your life, it typically comes when someone makes you feel good, right? And it typically comes from there, it leads to an action that you become proud of. And so one of the things that I'm always trying to do in my life is, like, how can I give the feeling of elevation? How can I leave somebody better than I found them? And this can be in the form of business work, right, where you're coaching clients. But this could also be, I'm at the grocery store, I see somebody's got some cool shoes on, or I see someone's got a cool t-shirt, and I just say, hey, I love your shoes. They're awesome.
That was Jake Kelfer, and this is Rebecca Neal, your host of Rebecca Neal, the podcast, business mentor, and founder of Say Hello Social, which is a social media management and content creation agency. Welcome back to another guest interview episode. Please sit back, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Today we have Jake Kelfer. He's a lifestyle entrepreneur, a business coach, and a life elevator dedicated to helping people create transformational experiences and achieve their true potential through connection. He is a 2-time best-selling author of Elevate Beyond and Elevate Your Network, a high-energy motivational speaker, and the founder of the Professional Basketball Combine, which has helped 70-plus NBA draft prospects turn their dreams of playing pro basketball into their reality. Jake's work has been featured on Forbes, Sports Illustrated, ESPN, and many other major media outlets. I'm so excited to have Jake on the show for you guys today. So welcome to the show, Jake.
Thank you, Rebecca. It's great to be here.
It's awesome. So before I dive into all the juicy goodness that we're going to talk about today, I would love to share with the audience, what is it that you do? Like, how do you spend the first hour of your day?
The first hour of my day, it's super simple. I wake up at 5:32 in the morning. I meditate for 3 minutes. I go to the bathroom, brush my teeth, and then I go straight into deep work. So that's the first thing I like to do in the morning. I get in my flow state and I just execute on my most important tasks for the day.
Did you say 5:32?
I did say 5:32. Yeah. I'm a weird guy like that.
I actually used to always set my alarm at funny times and people thought it was really bizarre, but I just loved having different numbers. Is there a reason behind yours?
So I love math, and me and my dad kind of both do this similarly. But basically I wake up at times that I don't like waking up with a 0 or a 5. And the numbers have to, like, equate to each other in some way. So, like, 5:32. 5 minus 3 is 2, right? But the other reason that I love 5:32 is because it's after 5:30, so it feels a little bit later, even though just 2 minutes. But then also my favorite number's 32. So it just happens to be, like, the perfect wake-up time for an early riser like me, and it just works, and I've just done it. So it is what it is.
I love that. And whereabouts in the States are you? Because is it really cold in winter when you wake up at 5:32?
No, so I'm pretty blessed. I live in California, in Southern California specifically, so Santa Monica, Los Angeles area. So when I wake up, you know, a cold day, it might be like 50 on a freezing day, you know, but on a regular day, it's like 65 by the time I, like, walk around at 6:37 a.m.
Yeah, it sounds like where I live as well. I always actually joked if I ever lived in the States that I would live in Cali, because that was so my vibe, because I'm just all about the heat, the beach, and the lifestyle.
I'm right there with you. I find it so hard to think of, like, living in a place where it's wintertime for like 4 months and it's snowing, you get snowed in, you have to wear like 25 pieces of clothing to, like, go outside. Like, I like wearing t-shirt and shorts, sandals, yes, flip-flops, basketball shoes. That's, like, my jam. So I can't imagine anywhere else. When I go on vacation, I go to the places with the beach, the sun, you know, the good vibes. That's how I roll.
Yeah, I'm all about it. And I'm a barefoot bandit hippie. That's what they like to call me.
The barefoot bandit hippie. That is a mouthful. That's pretty impressive. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a big barefoot guy. I don't have the foot strength to really make it happen.
So I guess, Jake, I'd love to share with the audience and also for myself to get to know you a little bit better. Let's talk about your journey to where you are today. What's the driving force behind what you do? Like, what's your mission, you know, your purpose in this lifetime?
So my purpose and my mission, it's evolved, of course, over time as much as we learn. But my mission is to help people elevate to the highest potential of themselves and to achieve their own definition of success. So the ways that I've done that, and this will kind of take us through the journey real quick, is the way I've done that is I've worked in basketball. I've worked for Los Angeles Lakers during Kobe Bryant's final NBA season. I went on to write my first book because I wanted to start making an impact and start helping people. So at 23, I released my first book called Elevate Beyond, which was all about how to stand out in the job market and discover your passion. From there, I wanted to keep working in sports. So I built an entire event called the PBC, the Pro Basketball Combine. And that was my way of really making an impact in the game of basketball and elevating NBA players to their highest performing self. From there, I wrote my second book, Elevate Your Network, which is all about helping people build extraordinary relationships in life and business. From there, I was speaking all over the world, and then I started doing a bunch of coaching. And now my main focus on the way that I'm elevating people is I help coaches and online experts build profitable businesses. And then I also help coaches and experts write and launch their first best-selling book. So my journey's evolved, but it's all been with the mentality of how can I elevate somebody and how can I elevate myself to achieve our own definition of success while enjoying the journey and the process.
I love that so much. And I want to dive into that a little bit. Like, why is the impact important to you? Like, for me, I'm all about impact. I believe that that's where it all begins. The income comes after the impact. And when we actually set out to serve others, that's the easy part. So where does that come from? Like, was there a driving force when you were younger to go out and have an impact? Like, why are you passionate about that?
Well, I think, you know, I've had a great upbringing. You know, I was really, really blessed to have an amazing childhood, an amazing upbringing, and I'm very, very grateful. And so part of the reason that I do what I do is because I know what it feels like to have people believe in you. I know what it feels like to be loved. And I really try to channel that to let people know that I can be that person for them, you know, and I want to support people on their journey. I want to inspire them. But I think the impact thing comes from something even deeper, which is the feeling that we feel when we've genuinely helped somebody is arguably one of the greatest highs and one of the greatest feelings that we can ever have. And selfishly, I want to feel as good as I can as much as possible. So the more I help people, the better I feel. And the better I feel, that means the more impact I'm making. So it's almost like help them help myself, right? But I think like ultimately what it comes down to is I know how blessed I am to live the life I live. I want to make sure that I'm always giving back to people that are more fortunate than me and those that are less fortunate than me. And I always want to make sure that I can be somebody when it's all said and done that I lifted people up, I didn't tear them down, that I helped make, I put a couple smiles on people's faces and we had a good time in the game of life.
I love that so much because I can totally relate. You know, I've been a coach for nearly 12 years. So, you know, being a coach coming with that is that inspiration, that service, that powerful feeling you get when you are getting people results or making their lives better. And it really began for me when I was actually watching The Biggest Loser Australia. Yeah. And I actually was bawling my eyes out. I was in my early 20s and I just knew because I was also like you. I had a really great upbringing. I had a beautiful parents who believed in me and allowed me to chase my dreams no matter what or how crazy they were. And, you know, I watched these people on this show who were in so much pain, but then getting such incredible results because they were being supported and there were people believing in them to do so and giving them the tools and everything. And that for me was where it all started. And I think being a coach it's such a privilege, and being someone that is able, you know, enabling others to change their life and have such an impact. So I really love that because I can totally relate so much to what you're saying.
Of course. I mean, there's really like, if you think about your life and you think about the times where you were the happiest, or the times where you've created the most positive emotion in your life, it typically comes when someone makes you feel good, right? And it typically comes from there, it leads to an action that you become proud of. And so one of the things that I'm always trying to do in my life is like, how can I give the feeling of elevation? How can I leave somebody better than I found them? And And this can be in the form of business work, right, where you're coaching clients. But this could also be, I'm at the grocery store, I see somebody's got some cool shoes on, or I see someone's got a cool t-shirt, and I just say, hey, I love your shoes. They're awesome. I know that a genuine compliment can change someone's entire day. And knowing that, I try to make it my mission and my purpose to do that more often, right? Yeah. We all know how good it feels to receive a genuine compliment. We get on cloud nine for the rest of the day. It changes our entire mood. We all know how down we get when someone insults us or says something mean about us. So like, if we know that we feel that way when someone says that about us, if we flip the script, we know that we can likely elicit that emotion in somebody else. The question is, why don't we make more of an intentional effort to bring that feeling to people all over the world? And all it does is it takes 20 seconds, a minute, to just give someone a compliment, to listen to someone, to tell somebody that you believe in them. And I think that that's really one of the most powerful things that we can do, is to be there for people in an authentic way, that both for ourselves and for them.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I often do that. I often say to, you know, the barista about her nail polish, the color of it or something like that, because it does, it lights people up. And I feel like there's a lot more that we can be doing so easily and we don't. And the question is, why don't people do that? Like, why do people like us really take the time to do that so naturally? Like, why are we doing that and others aren't? Do you think there is some sort of insecurity or self-confidence issue around that? Why do others not do it and we do it?
Well, I think it's a little bit of everything, of course, but truly I think it's, you know, sometimes we're afraid of doing that because we're afraid of how we're going to be perceived. We're not so much afraid of giving them the compliment, but we're afraid of how somebody's going to perceive us or judge us because we give them the compliment. Meaning, how are they going to receive it? Are they going to take it positively? Are they going to think we're just trying to be mean? Are they think we're going to be hitting on them? Are they think we're going to be like just doing it to make fun of them, right? Like, we have all of our own doubts and limiting beliefs in ourselves sometimes, that therefore we get nervous to take the action because of the rejection or the lack of return engagement or whatever it may be. And so I think like the reason some people don't take action, the reason some people don't give compliments, the reason some people don't, you know, go out of their way to build relationships isn't because they don't know what to do. It's because they're scared of what happens when they actually do it. And sometimes that's a fear of like, well, what if it goes well? Then I actually have to have a conversation with someone, right? Or what if they just like get so mad at me and they just walk away? And then you're like, well, why did I say that in the first place? And I think sometimes we can project what we think might happen and inhibit us from actually doing the thing that we know will actually create positivity in other people.
So powerful. And I think if anyone is like listening to them, like, oh, I need to do that more, it's just taking the action. It's like anything else, just give it a go. You know, get out there and start sharing a bit more positivity and light and love with others.
Yeah. And guess what? Look, there are going to be some people that you're giving them a compliment and they're just going to blow you off. It's part of life. You don't take it personally. Try someone else, because there is going to be a person, and it might not happen often, but there is going to be a person when you give them a compliment or when you say something really nice to them, you're going to end up having an unbelievable friendship out of that, or you're going to be able to create an unbelievable connection or collaboration or something. And, you know, I remember when I was going to Starbucks one time to do work, and I was wearing a specific shirt. So this is something that I talk a lot about. And when we're trying to build relationships, is putting yourself in opportunities to be noticed or to be approached. So I was wearing a specific shirt for NBA Summer League, which is a big basketball event that I work with. And the intention of wearing that shirt was, one, I look good in it, of course, and it felt good, right? But it was also, if somebody recognizes that logo, maybe they'll reach out.
Yeah.
But what happened was, I'm sitting at Starbucks, I'm wearing this shirt, and this gentleman comes up to me and says, hey, like, great shirt. Like, I love going to Summer League in the summertime. You know, tell me the backstory. Like, what's up? And we ended up chatting for 35, 45 minutes. He ended up introducing me to another one of his friends. He's now a mentor and a close friend of mine. We've ended up going to dinners. We've made introductions. We've gotten on some business deals that we're working on together. So it's like, you never know what can happen, but you got to give yourself the opportunity to let greatness come through.
Mm. Yeah, that's such a powerful story. And I share this a lot with my clients that I work with in the business space for social media, because I mean, we don't know each other before this. We're connecting through online, and it's by taking that step towards someone else, whether it's a compliment, whether it's a hello, you can build the most powerful, incredible relationships that you would never have had before, like you were just sharing, just from that step towards another person, just from reaching out. And that is where, whether it's business relationships or friendships or personal relationships, like this is where it all begins. It's just taking that step towards another person or having something that creates a conversation like the t-shirt.
I absolutely agree. And it's just so powerful, you know, when you put yourself out there, of course you're putting yourself out there, and that's nerve wracking, right? When you expose your vulnerabilities, there's always the chance that it doesn't go well, but there's also the chance that it could go amazingly. And those are the moments that make life worth living. Like, that's living life. And, you know, I'll bet anyone that's listening right now is like, you know what? I can do this. I can try to do something a little bit outside of my comfort zone and go for it and see what happens. And if it works out, let us know. If it doesn't work out, let us know. And we'll try again. We'll do it together because, rising tide lifts all ships, right? So it's just an amazing thing and something to think about for all of us as we experience our journeys fully.
Yes, I love that. So tell us, what is it like, where does the passion for sport come from, or basketball in particular? Because obviously that's a big part of what you do. Where did that start?
So basketball has been one of the greatest gifts in my life. Starting at a very young age. I remember playing in literally the opening story of my new book, The Elevated Entrepreneur, talks about my five-year-old self playing for the Los Angeles Lakers in my first ever like little league, you know, Parks and Rec experience. And so I won't spoil the whole story right now, but basketball has been a part of my life since I was 5 years old. And I played it through high school. I had dreams of playing in the NBA. It has always been something to me that has been a comfort. So it's taught me so much about life because I had overcome so much adversity to make the varsity basketball team in high school. You know, I'm a shorter guy in high school. I was a shorter guy. So I really had to work hard and overcome that adversity to make the team. I had to learn discipline, leadership. I learned the power of hard work. And so basketball taught me a lot of life lessons that have made me the businessman and the person that I am today. And so, you know, I've been able to build several businesses with basketball. I've been able to create partnerships with the game of basketball. So, you know, basketball for me has just been a big part of my life. And it's also now at this stage for me, an incredible place, an incredible sport for me to just release some energy and some tension. So, you know, maybe after this podcast episode, I might be going to play some basketball. I don't know yet, but it's definitely on the agenda because that's where I go to just relax and exercise. So that's what's played a big role in my life in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, that's cool. So a lot of entrepreneurs are listening to this today, this episode. So let's dive into some of the goodness around this, because I know that's what you're really passionate about as well. So what does it take, I guess, for someone to become a high-performing entrepreneur? Because I get asked a lot about productivity, how to stay focused, how to really achieve what it is that you want to do without distraction, because I don't know about you, but I've noticed the world is much more distracting place these days. Do you have any practical tips for people that are, you know, entrepreneurs or starting out or wanting to become a successful entrepreneur?
Yeah, I mean, I'll break it down into one simple method. All right. We can take this and be very, very practical with this. So, and I'll give you some recommendations too of like different apps and different things like that we can use to enhance our performance and our productivity. But and essentially, when you're an entrepreneur, there's so many things to be doing. You can get pulled in so many different directions. You can have shiny object syndrome. You can go left, you can go right. You can start to have momentum. You can pivot. You can make all these changes. You could have a lot of meteoric success, but not know how to build it, how to run the back end. There's so many different things that can come up as an entrepreneur. You could have a great idea, but not know how to take action. You could have great relationship, but not know how to convert those into dollars. There's so many different ways and things that can happen as an entrepreneur. And so what I always recommend to people is, I always start by telling them, you got to understand and live by what we call the ACE method. All right. And the ACE method is A-C-E, the ACE method. And it's broken down like this. The first part of the ACE method is intentional action. So action is the A of the ACE method. And when you think about action, it's what action do I need to take to get to where I want to go? What can I do today to create the future of my dreams? Right? You got to start asking yourself, what are the action steps? They don't have to be the biggest things, but they need to be, what are the things that I can do today? What is the priority to focus on today that's going to get me closer to the results, rather than just what is the task I need to do? That's the action part. The C is authentic connection. Connection, because we are in the business of people. No matter what type of business you run as an entrepreneur, you're in the business of people. You can't get married without a partner, and you can't grow a business without customers. That's a fact. So the C is connection. Who do you need to connect with? How can your existing relationships help you get to where you want to go? How can you help other people on their journey to build these better relationships, right? So it's about connection. And then the E, this is one that I see entrepreneurs just leave by the wayside in the pursuit of achievement. And this is enjoyment. I'm a firm believer that we need to enjoy the journey in the pursuit of greatness. And so when you follow the ACE method, intentional action, authentic connection, and enjoyment of the journey, well, you will always be able to come back to your center and really start to achieve the results you're going for. So that's like one of the most like practical things that I start a lot of people out is really understanding, okay, here is the ACE method. How is this applicable to everything that we do? When in doubt, ask yourself, what action do I need to take to get to my result in the quickest way possible? Who do I need to connect with? Who is already in my network that I need to connect with? And how can I have fun in the pursuit of greatness? And that's one of the main things that we always talk about early on, because it's so important to be able to have a foundational approach to being able to grow and scale, but also to be able to have the freedom to enjoy yourself while you're building.
Yeah, I think a lot of people forget to enjoy the journey. And I can put my hand up and say that's me sometimes, because we are so, especially as high achievers, we're so focused on that end point or that next goal or that next achievement that we actually forget that the process is all about it, right? We're here to learn along the journey. We become who we need to be to get to that action step as well. And so enjoyment is a hard one. Like, I know for me personally, it's like, oh no, but I've got so much to do. How do we get our mind into the right place to be able to go, okay, I can take that time out. It's not really going to jeopardize what I'm working towards.
I love that. And I appreciate you sharing that, you know, because sometimes as high performers, we're like, go, go, go. And we're just focused on the next thing. But here's the thing. There's always going to be a next thing, right? Because the minute we achieve one thing, we're going to be like, all right, cool. I achieved that. Let's go to the next thing. So if we're always in a continuous pursuit of the next thing or the next achievement, we're going to miss out on the fulfillment part. And so the best two ways that I've really been able to find more enjoyment, because I struggled with this as well. I was always go, 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 just getting the next thing, checking things off the to-do list. And I was missing on the process. And the two biggest things that really helped me was, one, getting super, super clear on the direction that I was really trying to go. Because a lot of times we throw out these achievements or these numbers as just things that we think are cool and that will bring us the happiness that we're seeking. But that's not often the case. Happiness comes from the consistent pursuit of that achievement more so than actually achieving the goal, right? And so what I think is really important is, number one, is you got to have the clarity. You got to be super clear on what is the actual direction, not based on what someone else wants, not based on what you think you're supposed to go after, but based on what you want to do. What's your definition of success? And we got to be very, very clear on that. The more clear we are, the easier it is to take action, and the less we start to compare ourselves to others. So that's number one. The second thing that has been pivotal for me in my journey, especially as I've grown multiple businesses, is the art of gratitude. Practicing gratitude used to be one of those things that I'd be like, ha, like, yeah, sure, go practice gratitude. Or it was something that like my mom would make me do at the family dinners. But practicing gratitude has been single-handedly one of the best things that I've incorporated, because it keeps me centered on today. It keeps me centered on now. It keeps me focused on what I have versus what I'm seeking. And practicing gratitude allows me to become more present. It allows me to savor life's experiences. It allows me to find more fulfillment in the act of doing rather than the act of getting somewhere. It helps me be more focused on the being rather than the doing. You know, and I think that that's something that we get mixed up all the time is we're programmed to do, right? People want to do. But here's the thing. We're human beings. We're not human doings. And so it's really important that we understand that we got to be where our feet are. We got to be present. And gratitude has been one of the biggest things. So those two things for me have been absolutely game changing as someone who's always striving for more, to be able to be more present and enjoy the journey.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up. The being, like, just be here now. Like, we hear that all the time, and be more present. It's so important in so many facets, not just in business, in life in general. And so it's really important that we have practices around that. when you do your gratitude practice, is it really just as simple as thinking about what you're grateful for, or do you have a process that you do?
So I have several different ways that I practice gratitude, and they're all different. So on one hand, I'll journal gratitude. I will write three things that I'm grateful for. Now, the thing that I do different than a lot of people is when I express gratitude in whatever form I'm about to share with you, I always add a because. And the reason I do this is because oftentimes we're just like, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that, I'm grateful for this. We don't really feel that gratitude. So I always like to say, I'm grateful, and I'll just give an example. I'm very grateful for you, Rebecca, for having me on your podcast, because there's an opportunity here for us to inspire some people, change some lives, and for us to build an amazing relationship. That adds so much more oomph to the gratitude and makes it so much more real and present. So gratitude journaling. Another way that I practice gratitude is in my shower. I take a cold shower, and towards the end of that, one of the practices that I do is I express gratitude. I verbalize that gratitude. And again, I add the because on it. Another way I practice gratitude is by going on gratitude walks. So I take a lot of breaks throughout my day, and I give myself permission to go on a walk, no technology, no distractions, and I just am. And I just walk, and I just express gratitude. Maybe it's one thing, maybe it's 100 things, but I just let it be, and I let it flow, and I just am grateful for everything. And the last thing that I'll share for now, at least, and hopefully one of these will resonate, you know, with each person that listens to this, they can pick one and see which one works the most for them, is what I call pillow gratitude. And the minute my head touches my pillow at the end of the night, I express gratitude. And I always love the fact that I kind of can end my night expressing gratitude. And sometimes I get so like grateful that I'm like, holy shit, like I can't believe this is my life. This is amazing. And I go to bed just thinking of all of the great things that I have going on for me. And of course, I'm not where I want to be eventually. And that's a pursuit. But I am very, very grateful for where I currently am at. And all these practices of gratitude really, really emphasize that. And allow me to be more centered and more present and grounded in the moment.
Yeah, and it really changes your perspective when you are in that place of gratitude. You really feel lighter, and I think it's so easy to get caught up with what isn't working and what's not where you want it to be, instead of actually seeing what is and what we do have and what's in front of us, and actually how damn grateful we are compared to so many in such small ways. And I think it really changes the energy of how you are and how you actually show up for others as well. So that is some great tips when it comes to gratitude, for sure.
Of course.
So as an entrepreneur, I'm assuming you've had many challenges along the way that you've worked through, as we all do. I'd love for you to share maybe one that stands out to you that has occurred, and maybe some of the lessons that you've learned from it.
Well, there's so many challenges that pop up all the time, you know, and I think that one of the challenges within the challenges is understanding that challenges are okay to have. And every time you get to a new level, there's going to be a new challenge. And what I think is really important, and something that I've had to work really hard on, is just because you solve one challenge, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be smooth forever. Challenges are going to pop up in ways that are out of our control. And you have to be okay with that. What you don't have to be okay with is leaving them as challenges. And that's where our action comes into play. And so for me, you know, a big, big challenge was being able to realize that there are things out of my control, that no matter what I do, I can't control everything. And that's something that I've really worked hard on, because if we stress and worry about things that are out of our control, we're going to miss out on executing on the things that we can control. And so that's been like I know it's a very generic answer there, but it's been something that has always kind of been in the works for me, and something that I always am continuing to work on, because I think it's a practice that I can always continue to get better on. But that's a big, big challenge that I faced, is, okay, some challenge comes up. Well, it's out of my control. So worry about the things I can control, and don't worry about all of the other things that are out of my control, because no matter what I do, it's not going to change anything. Just focus on doing what I can to the best of my ability with the knowledge I have at that time.
Yes, that's really helpful. And I know you're saying it's very generalized, but I think that's really powerful, because there's so many things that happen. And one of the things I always remind people of is, it's okay. Like, it's okay to go through challenge. It's okay to be confused and lost at different times, but it's how you move out of that space, or how you perceive that challenge, right? And that's what you've just shared there.
Of course. And look, I'll even give a more specific one. Okay. So one of the biggest challenges for my business is scaling with intimacy and automating with intimacy. And this is a very unique challenge. I'm very blessed to have this challenge because we're getting to new heights in the business, right? But one of my core principles and core values is authentic connection and intimacy and really being one with our customers. And it's very hard when you realize that I can't give my attention to every single person in the world who needs it. So how do I break that down? But how do I still give people the feeling of elevation, the feeling that I'm there for them, that I'm with them, that I'm supporting them? And this is a big challenge that I think a lot of people face as they continue to grow and grow and grow. And for me, you know, we've really worked hard on building out a team that has the same values. We work really hard on making sure that the tech software that we use is us and has our voice, and we program it to the best of our ability. But that's been like a really unique challenge that you know, I couldn't have predicted would happen in the very beginning of my business. But now we're at a major, major turning point as we really scale up and inspire so many more people. And it's like, okay, how do we do this? And I've made plenty of mistakes as we're figuring this out, but it's also taught me so much about how important it really is to take care of your people. And you have to find ways to do that. So that's been like a more specific challenge for me and my business, but it's such a blessing of a challenge to have because it just means that we're growing and growing and growing and making a bigger impact on the world.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful problem to have. And, you know, actually caring about authentic connection and intimacy is a really great thing. And I love that you are seeing that as something that you really want to work on, because I want to touch on this in the space that we're in. And this is something I've really struggled with this in the last 12 months is the inauthenticity and the lack of integrity in the coaching space. I'm not sure if it's something you have seen or agree on, but for me, I've really had to work through that personally this year. And I've taken a step back from coaching because of it. I have always been incredibly proud to be a coach. It's been an absolute privilege and honor to be able to do that, to hold someone, to put them in a space where you can really elevate them, like you say, into the newness of who they can be or who they're truly here to be. And I've really struggled with seeing so many people just being pumped through as a coach. That's just, I guess the bluntest way to put it is just to make money. I'd love your thoughts on that because it's something that I've definitely really struggled with this year.
I love that you bring this up because it's a very like hot and controversial topic, and I'm all about getting into the weeds here on this. I think it's been really interesting, right? I think we're seeing a lot of people come into the space, and part of that's because of the pandemic, and part of that's because there's literally no barrier to entry to becoming a coach. There's literally no rules. There's no real certifications technically. There's nothing that pre-qualifies you other than you saying, you know what, I'm going to take my knowledge and skill set and turn it into a business and income stream. And I think what's really awesome is that fact, and I think what's really terrible is that fact. Because you have people that are really, really great coaches who now are having to compete with people who don't actually care about other people. And it's very frustrating because you give your blood, sweat, and your tears to your people and to the people that want to work with you and to people that you want to bring into your world. But then there's other people who are literally just sliding into your DMs, pitching you on the message one and playing the numbers game. And look, to each their own with their strategy and how they do that. But what I've really found is that as more and more people come in, it's not about, you know, do you have the basics anymore? What it's about is how well can you articulate your value? Because at the end of the day, the cream of the crop rises. And my opinion and my belief is, look, there's a Starbucks on every single corner, yet coffee shops still pop up and they're still successful. So the coaching world is going to have more coaches continuing to jump into the space because there's no barrier to entry. More people want to go online. More people are believing that the instant six-figure sales pitches, right? Where everyone's believing that the quick marketing tactics. But in reality, business is a long game. And business comes down to how do you make your people feel? And do your people believe that you have their answers? So I really believe that we're going to see a shift here of people that are going to make it and people that are going to fizzle out. And when you look at it, there's so many people that are going to come in this last 18 months and they're going to be gone before 2023, before 2024, because they're not in it for the right reasons. And so my big belief is that if you as a coach, you, Rebecca, or anybody who's listening to this are a coach, it's your duty, it's your obligation, it's my obligation as well to make sure that we take care of our people in the best way that we know how, because it's our responsibility to make sure that people get the right coaches for them so that they could have their lives changed. And that's on us to be better, right? And so I'm going to take that as a challenge for myself to say, I need to be better. How can I do that so that I can make sure that people come to me rather than the person who's pitching them and giving them some nonsense? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, you know, I sat with the feelings that arose from it all when it started. I started to get really triggered. I started to look at why I was so frustrated, because for me, the greatest mission behind coaching is to be of service. It is to impact. It is to change people's lives. That's where it always began, no matter what space it was in, whether I was in the fitness space, health space, now business. And I really pulled back until I could really navigate and manage how I was feeling about that. And then I stepped forward with the power of knowing that I am here to make a difference. And by me removing myself from the industry that I'm so passionate about and genuinely care about others, I'm actually doing a disservice to myself, but also to the people that I'm here to serve, because they actually need those genuine coaches. They need people that are authentically wanting to look after people, wanting to work with someone that actually cares about them. And so if people like myself pull out because there is that, you know, that quick fix coach coming in, let's call them that, it is actually doing a disservice to the industry. Like, we have a mission to rise above that. Like you said, the cream of the crop will rise. And that is our job, to step above that and really just keep doing the things that we're supposed to do.
Absolutely. And don't get me wrong. Look, there's going to be some of these people that come in there that are great marketers, but they don't have anything to back it up. So they'll get clients, right?
Yeah. Right.
But I also think that, you know, at the end of the day, I think people, and I want to give people credit on this. I think at the end of the day, sure, we may get fooled, we may make a mistake, we may invest in the wrong coach because of whatever, you know, we're sold on. But I think at the end of the day, people can smell the bullshit. And we got to give people credit, because I think that we can sniff out the fakers. We can sniff out the people that are in it for the money. And because it's really easy to tell when someone's actually caring about you versus when they're not. But unfortunately, because of what's happened recently, it's harder to be able to distinguish from an initial DM or from an initial conversation. Are they just trying to pitch me, or are they actually trying to talk to me? And that's a very interesting area that things are happening. So I think it's making the people that are really in it for the genuine and authentic connections and really helping people, I think it's making us become even more creative to show our passion and our love for what we do in a variety of ways. And that's how we continue to stand out. And I think that, you know, you do a really great job of that on social media, is you yourself, you know, yeah. And you step up there and you show people, look, this is me, this is what I do, this is how I help, like, let's go. And people can join us on the road if they want, or they can join elsewhere, but we're going to be there and we're going to continue to support them. And we're going to continue to make sure that they know that we want them to succeed, and we'll do whatever we can to make that happen.
Yeah. And the truth will always rise above than anything else. And like you said, that people will just fall away because they're in it for the wrong reasons, or they're in it without the passion or the driving force behind it. And that, like any industry, there's always going to be better or worse and things like that. And I think it's just about being obvious. For me, I guess because I am someone who is really in integrity and really authentic in how I show up online, how I serve my clients, and how I do, you know, show up in the world in general, I really get moved by different things. And that's why I had to take a step back to really assess where I was at, what I was feeling, why I was feeling it, before then, you know, plowing back into it. And so it is challenging when you actually do care.
100%. And I'll mention one more thing on this, because it's like, it's firing me up. Like, I love in this conversation right now is, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in like our industry, right? We get our blinders on and everything we do is like, what's going on in the coaching industry or the online business or the entrepreneurial world? And sometimes I'm like, I try to take a step back and I look at like real estate. I look at corporate. I look at law, doctors, dentists, optometrists. I look at all these professions, plumbers, electricians. I look at all these professions. And I'm like, you know, there's a perception around all types of industries. There's a negative connotation with car salesmen. But guess what? There's also some really, really great car salesmen out there that don't follow the traditional mold. Same with real estate agents. Some dentists are actually really fun to go to and really fun to hang out with, right? And so I think sometimes when we take a step back and we realize that, you know what, every industry has their own challenges, their ups and the downs, but the good people always win. And guess what? We don't even have to worry about what everyone else is doing, because if we're focused on our definition of success, we can make sure that our actions are in alignment, our connections are in alignment, and our enjoyment is in alignment with what we're trying to ultimately achieve and the impact we're ultimately trying to create.
Yeah, that's good. I love that. Let's leave that there and dive into your books. I'm really excited to hear about it. So you've released a new book. So let's talk about it.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes, this is my third book. It's called The Elevated Entrepreneur. I interviewed 39 of the world's best coaches, performers, and entrepreneurs with the entire premise to help people become higher performing, more productivity crushing, and freedom achieving on their way to greatness.
That sounds amazing. And I can't wait to read it. I'm really, really excited. So why, what drove you to write this? Like, I mean, you've written, this is your third book. So what is it with book writing? Like, was this something you always wanted to do, or you wanted to bring your work to more people? Like, what's the mission behind writing books?
I always thought I was going to write books, but I thought I was going to go to college, get a good job, make a lot of money, buy a house, maybe buy an island. And then once I had gotten married and had kids and I had achieved quote unquote success, that then I could write books and give back. But I was working for the Los Angeles Lakers and I said, if Kobe can make an impact on the entire world, then why can't I do that? And maybe my impact won't be as big as his for a while, or maybe ever, but why do I have to wait till I'm a certain age, or I've reached a certain amount of financial status, or my title's big enough, or I have a certain amount of followers? Like, why do I have to wait before I can have a message? So I wrote my first book at 23, having no idea what to do. And I just figured out how to do it. And it ended up being really well received. And it was in colleges all over the United States. It was used in high schools. People were getting internships and jobs, all these things. I was like, you know what? This is why we do what we do. We don't have to wait for approval to create an impact. And the book just happened to be the vehicle that I was doing, because blog posts weren't cutting it. So my mentality was, if blog posts aren't getting the job done, how do I do something bigger, better, and make a bigger splash? And it was a book. Fast forward 2 years, I was like, you know what? I need another book. And I was like, well, what do I write it on? Well, I wrote it on what had gotten me to the level of success that I had at 25 years old, and that was relationships. So I wrote a book called Elevate Your Network. And am I the best networker and connector in the world? No. But am I better than a lot of people? Can I help people with the knowledge and the experiences that I've had? Yes. And so it was my duty to share that book with the world. Fast forward to today, The Elevated Entrepreneur, I want to bring the best of the best in the world to your fingertips, and give you people across the globe access to people that normally charge thousands and thousands of dollars to be able to get the advice that they share in this book, and the tips and the tricks and the stories and the inspiration that they share in this book. And so for me, book writing has become just a method of adding value in a different way. It's become a way of me differentiating myself and adding more credibility to my work. It's been a way for me to grow my network and expand my clientele and my network ultimately. But most importantly, I've just really become fond of having a collection of books and being able to see people read it all over the world, and knowing that maybe something in the 200 pages changed their life and they're going to do something differently because of that book. And, you know, I'm all about the power of one. And I think that one book, one interview, one connection, one action has the power to change somebody's life for the better. So that's what kind of put us on this this book writing path. And now, you know, part of what we do in our business is we help people, coaches and experts, we help them write and launch their first best-selling book, because now we've dialed in the process so well. So it's been a heck of a journey. And this book is super, super special to me, this newest book. So really grateful to be able to talk about it with you right now.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm actually a massive book nerd. I read a book every week. So that's yes. How much I love reading. So, and actually, like, I mean, I read ebooks, not ebooks, but like Kindle books as well. I don't really like Audibles. I am all about tangible books, and I just love to read. I read really quickly now because I've been reading for such a long time, but I am excited for sure. How long did it take you to write the book?
So this book actually took the longest, and the reason for it is because it was an interview book. So most books that I've written, or the two before, is it's just me writing, right? And I can just write them, and I bang out the writing process in about a month, And the whole process takes about 6 months, or excuse me, 3 months. And then depending on my launch strategy, I make it longer or shorter, depending on you know, what the intention and objective is for the book. This book, however, I really wanted to make it really great. And so I interviewed all these people. I got approval. I had to transcribe it. I rewrote certain things. Like, I put a lot of energy and intention into making sure that I represented our guests to the best that I possibly could, because they were so gracious with their time that I wanted to make sure that I made every one of our guests look incredible and really spread their truth. So this book took a little while to write and to get ready, which is why it's one of the most special to me and why people are really, really loving it. Because they're learning so much, they're getting a ton of great value from it. And the early reviews have just been spectacular.
That's awesome. So I definitely have clients when I'm working with them in a business sense and we're looking at the vision of the next 3 to 5, 10 year sort of plan. They often say to me, I really want to write a book. So they love the idea of potentially doing that. What are the steps, or where does someone start? Because I know you mentioned you are, you know, teaching people how to write books. Like, what are some little tips you could give to someone that is thinking about writing a book?
Number one is that you can do it. All right. Like one of the biggest reasons people always have it as a pipe dream is because they're like, this seems so overwhelming. I don't even think I could write 10 pages, let alone 150 pages or whatever the page count is. Right. So the first one is understanding that, like, you can do it. You probably have more than one book in you. And I believe with the right steps, you can make it happen. So that's the first thing. The second thing that I would say is you have to get clear on what is the intention of writing the book. There's so many different reasons why people write books. Maybe it's authority, credibility. Maybe it's because you want to share a message, you want to share a story, or maybe just because you want it to be freaking awesome, right? Like, how cool would it be to have a book with your name on it? Like, that's a really, really cool and amazing thing. Or maybe you want to use it for lead generation. But once you have that, then you need to move on to figuring out, well, what is the big idea? What is the book going to be on? And most of the time, if you're talking about some of the clients that you're working with, the idea of the book, the main theme of the book, is going to be what they're already coaching on, what they've already experienced. And you're going to tie in the stories, the experiences, the questions you're asked, the testimonials, the knowledge that you possess, and you're going to tie it in, following our process, you're going to tie it in into getting your book idea. Once you have your book idea, we go into the pre-write phase. This is where you have your outlines, and this is where you have your framework. Then you go into the writing phase, and then you go into the launch phase. And so we really try to navigate this. But what I would say to everybody, you know, ultimately is you can do it. You probably have more than one book in you. If you follow the process, you can get it done much quicker than you think. And I bet you it's going to feel so good when you get that book in your hand that it'll make all of it worth it.
Great. They're such great tips. I would love to know if you have any books that you're currently reading. Like, do you listen to audibles, or what's on your bedside table?
On my bedside table right now is, and I'm looking right now at it, the book that I'm currently reading is my friend Ali Kasaza just released a new book called Declutter Like a Mother. And I know it's an interesting book for me. Like, I'm a very, like, I tend to have more masculine energy but that's her book. It came out. I support my friends, and that's what's on my shelf right now. Another book that I recently read that I really liked is A Happy Pocket Full of Money. And that's really about money mindset, money abundance, and things like that. And then one of my favorite authors that I absolutely love, and I'm a big business fable guy. So think like The Alchemist and things like that. One of my favorite authors who I had the privilege to actually interview in my book, his name is John Gordon. And he's got some amazing, amazing books that are all about positivity, that are great stories about taking action, building relationships. You know, he's just a really great author. And so I'll always love rereading his books as well. But I have so many books that I'm looking at right now. So those are just a couple.
There's such a nice feeling when you have books around you. I don't know if you feel that way too, but I definitely love owning lots of books and reading lots of books.
The first thing I do when I go into someone's apartment or their home is I go to their bookshelf. And I can tell a lot. It tells so much, you know, like, and yes. I look at it, I'm like, okay, you just have books because you need something to fill up your shelf. And then you look at other people and I'm like, okay, all right. Here we go. Here's an hour conversation that I'm about to have because this is going to be awesome. And yes. And I think books, you know, for us, and I think a lot of people that are listening, like books change our lives. You know, and I believe that books are just such an amazing, amazing gift to us, because if you really think about it, books are like the secrets that are in everyone's brain, and they just give you the best of what they possibly can. Yes. And then they ask you to pay them to teach you the rest of it. But the book gives you so much value just by reading it alone, and you can have so much success for it. So I literally look at people's bookshelves because it'll tell me so much about them. And, you know, maybe one day I'll walk into a stranger's home and my book will be sitting there and I'll just be able to give them the biggest hug ever. And it'll just be the greatest moment.
What an epic feeling that will be, for sure. So Jake, tell us what's coming now after the book. Like what's coming in the coming years? What's the future of Jake look like?
The future possibilities are limitless. Let me tell you that, Rebecca. All right. There is so much on our agenda. I have books 4, 5, and even 6 in the works in my mind. I want to write a business fable. I want to do another how-to book. I want to, you know, do a few other things. Our coaching programs are really, really blossoming. So we have our main coaching program for new coaches to help them build their online business. And then we have Big Idea to Bestseller, which helps people write and launch their first book. But for me, I think, you know, in the next 3, 5, 10 years, I would say expanding upon the things that we're doing right now, just like I mentioned. And then, you know, I'm a 28-year-old. I'm a single guy at the moment of this recording. But for me, like one of the things I aspire to have in my life is a family and to be a really loving husband and a present father. And so, you know, there's no timeline for me. There's no pressure on me. But I know that that's something I do want in my life. And so, you know, 5 to 10 years down the road, that's definitely something that I'm looking forward to, you know, God willing. And you know, I'll put myself out there. And I believe that that's going to be a great part of the next adventure of my life. We'll be able to have, you know, a family and a partner, and also to have the businesses that I've been able to build up successfully.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think that part will teach you so much. I'm also, well, I'm a little bit older than you, but I'm definitely looking forward to that part too, because I think there's going to be incredible lessons that come with having a family and having children, for sure.
Absolutely.
So is there anything else that you'd love to leave us with today? It's been absolutely amazing, as I thought it would be, but is there anything we haven't covered or something you're just dying to leave everyone with?
I think we talked about a lot of great things today, Rebecca. Like, I think you asked some unbelievable questions, and I think we gave some really practical tips to everybody. But here's what I'll leave everybody with. And this is something that my dad told me when I was getting ready to write my first book. I was nervous. I had the limiting beliefs. I had the doubts. I was wondering, what if nobody reads my book? What if I'm a complete failure before I even start my career? What happens then? And my dad told me, and he said, Jake, I promise, when you go for it and you put this book out into the world, great and unexpected things are going to happen. You can't always predict what's going to happen, but I can promise you that if you start now, great things will happen. And I would just say for anybody that's listening, if you've been waiting for permission, if you've been waiting to try something new, if you think you have this idea, if you want to take your business from 3 to 10K, 10 to 30K, whatever it is, go do it. Do the damn thing and go for it. Because that's what life is. Live the game. Play the game, but get off the bench. And that's what I'd leave everybody with, because I'm just such a believer in that. And I hope that that little rant right there was of value to you and everyone who listened.
I love that. It's so important, you know, because I think too many people have all these dreams and never actually take the action because they are afraid of failing or what others might think. And if you just take that step, it may not actually be the place you go. It may open up all these other opportunities and amazing things, because with that step forward is what that allows, you know, doors open, other people come in as you take action.
100%.
So where can people find you and get in touch with you?
The best place to find me and connect with me is on Instagram at Jake Kelfer, and on my bio, as well as pretty much everywhere online, you can find me at Jake Kelfer. But the book, The Elevated Entrepreneur, is available for you at theelevatedentrepreneur.co.
That is very exciting. And I know you have an offer for us. Did you want to share a little bit today on that?
Yeah. So we made the book, and it's something that we're really, really proud of and excited of, is we made the book free. All we ask is that people cover the shipping costs, and we'll get it to your doorstep as quickly as we can. And the reason we did that is we wanted to make this book as accessible as possible to as many people around the world to help create the feeling of elevation in their lives. So if you go to theelevatedentrepreneur.co, you can pick up your copy, and we will mail it to you wherever you are.
I love that. That's so generous. And if you do end up purchasing that book, make sure you tag Jake in it so he can see, you know, if you are listening in Australia, we're all loving you from over here.
Yeah, you guys are in the future. So no matter when this comes out, I'll be listening to it in the past for you guys. So I love that. Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much, Rebecca. Appreciate you.
I am so grateful to have had you on the show. There's my gratitude for the day. I'm so honored to actually be able to interview different people from all around the globe and actually share that with the audience and the people that are in my community, because not only do they get a lot out of it, I also get a lot out of it. And it's just such a beautiful gift that I'm able to experience. So thank you for your time today, because I know it's really valuable.
Of course. And thank you for your time. And thank you to all the listeners for your time. We appreciate you. So thanks so much.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Jake. He is an incredible human. I hope that you took lots of golden nuggets of wisdom away. Don't forget to check out his new book and the other two that he has written. You'll definitely be impressed. It's very, very exciting, as this new one has only just come out. So do check that out. I'll leave the links in the show notes. And if you do get a chance, please screenshot this episode, tag me on Instagram so I can reshare and connect with you in the DMs. Until next episode, have an incredible day.